Welcome to Season 3 of Beyond the Wall, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast brought to you by Istril and Darknotch. We'd like to thank FFG and CardGameDB for their continued support, and the fantastic AGOT community as a whole for being the sole reason we do this cast. Thank you for letting us take you once again beyond the wall.
Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Wall. Today we're going to have a quick intro, then we're going to talk with Peter from the Montreal Meta about the staleness of the game and what is 2.0 to him. Then we'll finally have some news and closing comments. So Sean, intro.
Am I doing the intro?
Well, of course. Tell us, what's the intro? What do we have here? What's going on?
This is the intro. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Wall. It is episode... What's the number? Oh, no. Where do you keep these things?
Oh, my God. That was fail. Okay, that was a horrible intro. We'll keep it. And let's talk some news.
Hey, we need the intro number.
No. Alex isn't here. We need no numbers. No, that's we need... math. Alex does the math. We're skipping it, Sean.
Give me one second.
No. All right, let's talk about news.
Episode 17 of Season 3.
17, yeah, okay.
All right.
Alex. Thanks, Alex.
No problem. Did you notice I said episode as well? Just a little throw there for you.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you. So, news. There was product announcement about... Oh my God, I should read these before I actually start talking about them.
I'm going to talk about some rumors I heard. There's a rumor going on that Games Workshop might be pulling the... Warhammer 40k license from FFG. Is that what you heard, Sean?
That's what I heard. It's apparently they're resurrecting all their old board games, and that might be bad news for Conquest. So it's a good time to jump into Thrones if you're a cold feet Conquest player.
Yeah. Not that I test Conquest in any way, shape, or form, so this is completely subjective, but some of the people, the peeps that I know that are into the Conquest is saying that no new cycles have been going through the churn lately. But what does that really mean?
Yeah, there are some deep rumors that Asmodee in general are not particularly happy with the profit from the LCGs.
Oh, come on. That's bullshit.
That's deep rumors. So we'll see how that goes.
You mean that's unsubstantiated?
That's unsubstantiated deep throat man in a trench coat. We'll see how it goes. So, there was some news on FFG's website, though, about new products that were available. They're showing some Imperial...
X-Wing is not thrown, so why are we talking about this?
Alex always goes over all this stuff. I'm trying to fill in for Alex. I'm not doing a very good job. There's a new quarter of kits. They posted their information, so if you want to pass it along to your tournaments, they're talking about their 2017 quarter one tournament kits.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Thrones. So, Worlds was announced, Sean. The dates of Thrones, it starts on a Wednesday. What do you think of that?
I guess I'm not going to Worlds.
In fact, there's not a single Game of Thrones event on the weekend.
We are relegated
to the week. And on top of that, Melee is no longer an official function. It's just a side event.
Yeah, that sounds really bad. I don't know why we're getting shafted. Maybe we slighted FFG, the Thrones community. One too many drunken incidents. But we're getting kind of like the B slot.
Yeah, we are, but that's okay, because there was another announcement in that same article, which I found interesting, and there was talk of draft. Some people are theorizing that's a 1.0 draft, but I just don't feel it. I don't think FFG would be doing something in 1.0 at this point. I think they put that behind them. I'm feeling like we're going to see a 2.0 draft at Worlds.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome.
And a recommendation.
Again, just
FFG,
a side event.
As a little aside. Maybe do something with draft, like special cards.
Oh man, wouldn't it be awesome if they did alternate art or foils or something like that so that there was some other value in purchasing these draft boosters than just having a draft booster?
That would be great. I think it would open up some strategic questions when you open your pack and there's an alt art that's worth, you know, $10, but maybe it doesn't play into your strategy. Do you take the $10 or do you go for the deck strategy?
just like Magic has.
Exactly. Also, there were some spoilers. I think these are inadvertent spoilers. An Italian distributor who's spoiled things before by posting different pictures. They've given us all the pack names now. So we've got Ghosts of Harrenhal and Tyrion's Chains coming out soon.
Yeah, that picture almost looks like they had the packs.
Yeah, it does seem like they have all of the merchandise together. I'm wondering if that's like a marketing thing or all the cards already printed.
They might have got a sample, like a sample of the first three packs or something for some reason. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Wall. Today we're joined by Peter Wilson from the Montreal Meta. And Peter's bringing an interesting perspective here on the show today in that he's a first edition player that actually never came back 2.0. So the reason we have him on today is because recently on the boards we've been hearing a lot of complaints around certain factions or factions that are overpowered, and there's a lot of talk of a stale meta. And if Alex was here today, he would be telling us how wrong we are on the idea of a stale meta.
You're damn right he would.
It's only been a few months since these dominant decks that we see, just Stark and Lannister Dragon, have been appearing. But even then, there's a bunch of these rogue decks that are coming up and still doing quite well at tournaments. So, Sean, what do you think about the statement of a stale meta?
I think it's absolutely right. I think we are in a bit of a stale meta. I mean, I think I've mentioned it before, being sick of Lannister, and I think the core of Lannister is always going to be there. There's always going to be that Tywin Rose Road Reducer, you know, Tyrion business where you just get too much of an economy boost and you get too far ahead. The only way I see that coming, getting tamed a little bit, is if the other houses can also have some gold, please. FFG, I want some gold, please, for non-Lannister houses. As sort of a faction advantage, it's too big, I feel. Others may disagree with me, but I mean, we'll get other people's perspective. I think that's the whole idea of bringing Peter on. Peter brings a unique perspective.
So Peter, you've heard talk of the stale meta from a 1.0 player that didn't come back to 2.0. So let's start there. Why didn't you come back to 2.0?
Well, hi guys, first of all. I didn't come back to 2.0 first because just where I was personally at the time, I wanted to play more competitive games. So I started playing Magic a lot more. And how I am, I like concentrating on one game at a time. So I stopped playing 2.0, or rather, never started, stopped playing Thrones. And not only just that, I was a tester on the initial core set and for a little bit of the first cycle, and I did see some of these problems coming. Not all of them. I'm certainly, you know, no Nostradamus with all these problems that the game has now, but, you know, stuff like the economy and stuff was certainly well known back in the testing, so that's one major reason why I didn't start playing.
So when you say an economy problem, what you're referring to is the limited nature of economy, the fact that players have to be more concise and careful with their economy cards, or
sure,
or generating power to these big characters like Tywin that produce additional gold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a choice. They did it this way in 2.0. It just introduces a much, much different gameplay than in 1.0. I preferred the gameplay in 1.0. So that's one of the reasons I never continued. I think it's certainly something that they can do. I don't think it's inherently wrong for them to do it that way. I just find from like a design perspective, you're playing less cards and it's more fun to play more cards. The board states, they lead out to skulls much more often, I find, just from the games that I've played, very limited number in 2.0. Obviously, I hear there's Valor coming back. That'll change things, of course. Interesting that it has only 2 gold. As an outsider, that seems like a mistake, but hey.
I think in this world where these huge investment characters, these 7-costers, are the things that are right now driving the whole game, in my mind. These big guys that come out and swing games or kill people like Miri. I think Valor will have a much more powerful effect on those types of boards than they did in 1.0. So the designers might have been cautious with their gold on that to make sure that when you wiped out these big characters that it wouldn't be too easy for you to come back.
Sure. That is, of course, you know, that seems reasonable. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's lots of justification that can be made for decisions, and they don't even necessarily need to be the wrong answer. Maybe what they're doing is, you know, like, right to the game or whatever. But when I hear people complaining about Lannister a lot, and, you know, I'm still very good friends with most of the people that played Thrones in Montreal, for example, and other places I talk to them pretty regularly, I hear constant complaining about, you know, certain houses, Lannister, for example, and my point basically is that you don't need to play the game. If it causes you so much ire, you could just not play. It's a very valid option. You could do lots of fun things with your time. And to complain that the gameplay, that the houses won't be balanced, I just want to talk about that for a second. Because that's like a major complaint that's always been there, even in 1.0. And to expect for FFG to balance all the houses equally, I find to be an unrealistic expectation. First of all, they don't have the resources to do that. Their development team is mostly volunteer-based, like the people that do the gameplay balance. A lot of them are volunteers. They're not professionals. They can't catch things that people are playing the game 8 hours a day will catch, like the other game companies, for example, Wizards, and, you know, the people that do Forspoken and stuff. Like, they pay their people to develop games. Like, FFG does not have those resources. In fact, if anything, they do incredibly well with the resources they're given. It's just not realistic to expect that they'll get, like, a high bar of, you know, balance or whatever for the game. There will always be problems.
Yeah, and I think this is the same problem that they have with organized play. I know you, organized play was one of the issues around which you left the game as well, because you were trying to play more competitively. And Thrones is just not competitive at an organized level to much extent. But that's mostly, I think, on the back of their prize support and how they run their events. They actually go to their way to make sure that a bunch of their events are very casual, friendly, and open. What that does, though, is it drives away a bunch of the very, very competitive players. Because when you're playing and you're paying $50 to get into a tournament or $60 to get into a tournament, and what you're winning is an alternate art card that Sean could have made probably nicer, it really takes away a lot of the impact. And this is one of the big complaints I had originally. Then I started to think to myself, what do they have in their organized play department? I think they have like 2 guys for all their games, and they have like 20 games.
Yeah.
What the hell am I expecting? Right? Like,
yeah, it's exactly this. I talked to the guy in charge of organized play a couple of years ago when I went to Worlds. This was just when it was the Worlds where 2.0 was actually just announced. I talked to the guy about it, and frankly, he seems like a great guy. I mean, he's, you know, trying to do the best he can, but more than it's an incompetent guy, I got the impression that he's just a guy that's like way overworked. So yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and you know, like if he can dedicate only an hour a week to Thrones, and he's got to set up the schedules, he's got to organize where the events are going to be, he has to put together the team that's going to be showcasing Thrones all over the place, you know, assemble these packs, create new prizes. I'm sorry, you can't do that in an hour a week. You need to be more, you have to have a dedicated person. If you look at Magic as an example, and I know that's kind of the top example everyone always uses, but they have hundreds of people training the people that are going to look after the tournaments.
Yeah, judges.
Judges, yeah, the judge program. Their prizes are cash. They're paying stipends, which just got reduced pretty significantly to some of their top players. Mm. They have all kinds of ways to promote people to show up to tournaments. And that's really, to me, what FFG is lacking. I find, personally, the tournaments that I'm more likely to travel for are not the FFG ones, but the player run. Like, me and Sean drive down to all the big New York tournaments that are run out because they end up having more people. The prizes are about twice as good, and the field is way more competitive. You know, you go to a local regional, and you're going to get 20, 30 people. You go to New York, you're going to have 50.
So is this a question of FFG not making enough money off of the AGOT LCG to fuel these additional services, this additional support? How much, I mean, let's break it down. Is this, are they not spending their money wisely, or are they not getting enough money?
They certainly aren't getting enough money to support a large tournament scene like that. That's straight up, they don't have enough money. But also, it's because the FFG product, like the LCG product rather, it just doesn't generate the income that a collectible card game does. It doesn't have a secondary market to fuel the value of the cards and such. And so even apart from like the FFG tournaments, like for example, once again in Magic, there's the Star City Games Opens. It's completely independently run from, well, mostly independently run from Wizards. And if anything, it pays out more to the people that win regularly. Events every weekend, stuff like that, you know. They can never have that for an FFG game. It doesn't have the value. So yeah, FFG doesn't have a same kind of product that Magic does, so can't get the secondary market revenue off the cards, and therefore a third party like that really doesn't have the motivation to make their own like really successful, you know, prize driven tournament series. Like, and it's an unfortunately a sad truth I think will never get fixed.
You're going to talk about the community, Peter?
I don't have the greatest things to say though. So,
well, you should have great things to say. I mean, some of your closest friends that you still hang out with today, you met playing Thrones.
Yeah. I meant the larger community.
I think he means the current community. Second edition community and first edition community are very distinctly different.
But did you feel like the community in first edition was great?
I thought it was fine. I thought, I mean, I had friends in the community, certainly. I like the people from my local community, of course. You know, I like people from, some people from Ottawa, you know, who shall remain nameless.
It's not me or you.
And, yeah, you know. But, you know, in general, like, the people, like, on the internet, I didn't get along with particularly well. They were fine. I mean, even in 1.0, I remember I had disagreements with people. There was Sethgate, of course, the famous Sethgate.
What is Sethgate? Oh, no, I need to know this now.
You don't remember Sethgate?
Yeah, Sethgate. No. It's when there was a British gentleman that posted a deck that Seth didn't believe to be of the highest quality. And I have to say, I have to agree with Seth on this one.
Oh, this is Sethgate. Okay, I know about this. So yeah, then he talked about bad cards.
The point of quality here wasn't necessarily bad cards. It was 61 cards, right? Instead of 60.
But there's a great example. You like Seth, right, Peter? Or you did, I think. Maybe. That's, you like DC, didn't you?
Seth's a fantastic guy. He's a gem in the rough.
Seth's pretty awesome, though, like, and a good player.
Yeah, but I think you got along well with a couple other metas as well, right? Not just Montreal and a few people from Ottawa, but globally, you hit it off with other people.
Sure. But it's not real individuals I have problems with in the 2.0 community. Maybe it is. I just don't know these specific individuals that keep doing this stuff. But every once in a while in my Facebook chat, I'll keep getting articles about, like, how nice we should be to other people in the community. And I just know the size of the Thrones community. And there's no way there should be that number of articles telling people to be nice to other people. It's so out of proportion. I don't know why that's a constant thing in this community.
Because there's 600 of us and two of us are mean. And those two hurt people's feelings, Peter.
But, like, does that really need six articles, like, about why, how you should be nice to strangers? Like, we already know. In fact, people that are going to be mean to people are not going to listen to those articles. And people have no control whether those people are in the community or not, like, clearly.
I think it's because in 1.0 it was kind of a matter of pride that people took in new players and hung out, and we all went out. And because it's a small community, you get to know the people. When I go to these big events like Gen Con, a good portion of it is actually the awesomeness of walking down the different aisles and talking to half the players because you've played with them for 5 or 6 years. I love going over and chilling with Seth, for instance, or Steve Simone, or meeting back up with Dan from New York, or, you know, even sitting down and talking with John Bruno. Like, these guys are all just fantastic people that I have fun hanging out with. And we play a bunch of games. I think Sean participated in some kind of Olympics last time we were there, after Thrones. And it's just fun.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That's right.
those six or seven members of the league will know the reference, but no one else.
I mean, this all sounds fun. Like, having friends is fun. But if I'm, like, Joe Nobody and I join the Facebook group and there's, like, a bunch of people that are specifically telling people to be nice, like, it just seems, like, really alienating.
Yeah, I can see that.
It does seem rather patronizing.
Yeah.
We're not children. We don't need to be lectured. And if, you know, if someone hurts your feufies on the internet, then there's this big button you can press and turn it off.
Yeah.
It's true. You don't have to respond to them on the internet. And I think, you know, honestly, there's not a lot of people I've met in Thrones that are bad people. And I can say the same for 2.0. You know, we went down, Sean, to New York. We met up with the Brotherhood Without Manners crew that everyone, you know, whined about there for a little while. And I thought they were great guys. Had some pizza, chilled. Wish they were at Gen Con so we could have some beers.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difference, too, I think, between the internet and in person. For instance, a famous or infamous character, DC Dennis, comes off as a bit of an asshole online. People have said this forever. I'm not saying anything original here. But in person, he's like the nicest dude ever. Of course, he'll probably deny that and try to maintain his king troll status.
My wife thinks he's a teddy bear.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude. He bought me dinner once. What a nice guy. I think the internet and Facebook in particular are pretty poor mediums for introducing people to the community. It brings out the worst.
Especially with so many different cultures on Facebook, and people are like, oh, that shouldn't make a difference. But actually, the sense of humor and what's considered a joke and the types of humor is very different, even across the United States of America. And some people can take these jokes as bad, while other people are just really enjoying it. And I've seen so many posts that have gotten locked and then removed that were really just a small joke that, you know, I was finding humorous and someone else wasn't and complained and they shut it down. But it's not because someone was being an ass. They were just being funny and they didn't realize that it didn't translate well into whatever culture it was.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I could speak on an experience on posting jokes on the 2.0 forum. Recently, I just posted a picture of me and my friends having fun at the water park. And a lot of people took that really seriously. I was really shocked how many people thought, like, I don't know, like, this was, we did this all the time, like, this was our real life, and, like, we thought those were our real girlfriends or some shit, like.
Didn't somebody call you autistic?
Oh, yeah, someone definitely called me autistic.
That's just mean, people.
That was new, I guess.
That seems to go against the MO of the 2.0 group, that you'd be nice to each other.
Yeah, I mean, really what it came down to is that I posted it as a joke, and people were like, this guy's ridiculous. It's like laughing at a clown because he has big shoes. Like, yeah, he's wearing the big shoes to make you laugh. Like, he's in on the joke, guys. You can calm down.
Sorry. I enjoyed the joke. What I was a little sad about was that I didn't get a diorama when we talked about AnimeGate on the show. That depressed me.
Wait, Alex did post something. Didn't you see it?
I didn't get to see nothing.
Maybe it got, like, removed or something. I don't know. But there was, he had all of his Figmas lined up with a Beyond the Wall logo.
Damn it!
Oh, you didn't see that?
No, I didn't get to see nothing. I was watching it, too. I was probably at work before it got removed.
Oh, it's on, like, Beyond the Wall.
Oh, is it? Oh, see, that's the problem. I don't go there. That's what Alex goes.
He posted it, like, as a direct response to the episode.
Oh, well, okay. I'll have to go check it out after this.
We're going to edit that out, that bit about you not looking at the Facebook? Or
yeah. No, you can tell people that. They know that.
And remember, everyone, go check out the Beyond the Wall Facebook page after this episode and like it. And follow.
Clearly a bustling hive of activity.
Oh my god, I see it now. This is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, there is, Alex was going to be on this cast initially, and he did have one complaint that you labeled Madoka Magica as a mid-tier anime, and he clearly thinks it's much higher.
Oh, okay. I don't know if he watches enough anime is the problem. I think that's his problem. I can help him with that.
This is Alex Godlovich, by the way. I think we should get him on the cast to have an anime off with John.
Oh, I'm not super great at memory, like, especially names. It's going to kill me. They'll be like, what character did this? I'll be like, that guy, you know, with the gun. It won't be pretty. But we should be getting back to Thrones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're talking about awesome community, which Peter might disagree with.
I don't think it's like a terrible community. I just think it's, people are mostly obsessed with it being a great community, mm-hmm. and they should just chill out and have fun. We don't need to make huge, like, Facebook screeds about how, like, welcoming we're going to be to total strangers.
Just,
like,
be welcoming.
Just act as you are.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're fine.
I think there's also a separation between the online community and the multitude of communities in real life, right? There is definitely a culture of PC draconian censorship in the online community.
Sean, please. It's offensive.
Oh, sorry. Oops.
Yeah, PC draconian.
Draconian. Good lord.
You're going to have to cut these parts, Sean.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't allow this type of thing on the cast.
These words weren't endorsed or pre-approved by the great admin team over at the AGOT 2.0 group.
Okay, look. Okay, stop. Now you're going too far. I like the, you know, the guys at the AGOT 2.0. They have cut a few posts that made me angry when they cut them because I was really enjoying them. But in general, they are volunteering their time and trying pretty hard. So you got to give them some props for that.
True.
They did start it, and I mean, there's something there.
And when someone tells you to kill yourself, clearly they mean that as a real-life threat to your physical person and not as just sort of a dismissive statement on the internet. So you should really ban that person and delete all their posts.
Who are you talking about?
DC Dennis getting banned by Emil. He told him to kill himself.
Wait, really?
Yeah, stop laughing. Okay.
Okay. What the hell?
It's Dennis. You know, he goes over the top sometimes.
No, I mean, why would they ban him? Like,
that's an internet thing, you know? Kill yourself. It's just like a shutdown.
It's like die in a fire, right? It's not. Yeah. I don't really mean go die in a fire. Like, where would you find a fire that, like, you know how long it takes to set a fire that size? To, like, really take yourself out?
If you go and kill yourself after someone said kill yourself on the internet, we got to start talking about how thin your skin was.
And talk about, like, being suggestive. Mind control, man. All right, Sean, this was your episode, so what else do you want to cover?
You took the reins pretty well, John. Are there any sort of gameplay mechanics that you just disagree with from, like, a core perspective? Like, you think it set the game off on a bad foot?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I can talk about this. If there's one thing I tried in testing, it was to change village to something at all relevant.
Okay, Alex would love you right now, Peter.
Because village is basically almost completely irrelevant to every game state. All it does is take the top card of your draw deck, basically a random card from your draw deck, and put it in the discard pile. They put stuff that keys off of that, and sure, if you want to do that, you can. But, like, if you just have random guys with pillage, it basically does nothing. It's basically no different than just a vanilla guy. And you look at it, and you're like, well, it's not great. But can I just say, like, let's say, like, pillage could, like, affect their economy or something.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, if you actually, like, pillaged and took gold?
Exactly. Something like that.
That would be cool.
It would be great. But instead, it's just you take a random card away from the deck it's not even card advantage. It's just you're seeing additional information cards that were in their deck. And in fact, if the game goes anything like 1.0, like, if there's a deck like Paranoid Agenda that has great discard recursion, like, pillage actively helps your opponent. Overall, to be honest, it's like a kind of a minor point compared to, like, larger economy problems. But pillage is just such a disaster. Why would they do that?
Well, I mean, if they start doing things that key off the number of cards in someone's discard, then pillage could have a lot more value. You know, if there's 10 cards in your opponent's discard, then this guy gets +2 strength and renown, or if etc. Then there'd be some value in those characters discarding those cards to turn on the other effects, but we don't have that yet. And the problem with, you know, losing cards as a game mechanic to win the game is that it'll be useless, 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 then broken. There's no in between.
To go off what you said there with the number of cards in your discard pile, the problem with that even is that pillage really doesn't add a significant number to your discard pile in general compared to just the natural flow of the game. Through intrigue challenges, you're much more likely to just add more cards. You know, you're using events, characters dying, and attachments going to the discard pile if they have terminal, that kind of thing. You're just more likely to get cards in the discard pile that way. And those all just affect the game more naturally. If there's ever a point in the game where there's like a critical mass of pillage characters, maybe, but I mean, the way things are going, that's certainly not true.
See, you're arguing for just good stuff that could just generally push the board state further than a character who specifically takes one card off the top of the deck.
Well, I think the major detraction with pillage is that it's just a completely non-interactive game mechanic. It doesn't create any back and forth between you and the opponent. It's just like, oh, a random card is gone. That's it.
And short of playing Green Dreams, which is a very bad card, you have no control over the card you're losing. So I've been in situations where I'm like, oh, I'm done. I quit this game for a month because a string of tournaments where I had lost a cut match or I lost a match into the cut over a random mountain trigger, right? That just, oh, it killed my Tyrion and killed Melisandre off the board. I've lost the game because of a random card that I had no control over, right? Off the top of my deck.
Well, yeah, they introduced a high variance card like the mountain. I guess that's generally something you try not to do, but they did.
I don't know why either. It kills me. The card kills me.
You guys are just wimps. Embrace the mountain. Love him. He is great.
Well, I mean, I would certainly play the mountain. I just question whether he's a good design decision, that's all.
Peter, you obviously haven't been listening to the cast. The mountain can't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there about the first thing.
I think I'm right with both.
All right. Are there any other mechanics you wanted to talk about aside from village?
Honestly, I guess I could restate that. If you're not having fun, do something where you're having fun. That's all, man.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying is kind of true. I'll talk a little bit more about it, too. So, in my mind, there's people burn out on this game. A great example is me and Aaron. We've been testing for Gen Con. We've played a ton. And we've been complaining about the staleness of the game. And, you know, Alex said to me, and he was very right in it, he said, you only think it's stale because you're playing like 10 games a week right now in prep. So, if you weren't doing that, you wouldn't have found it stale. You're just playing so many more reps than you would. And sometimes you just have to take a step back and, like Peter's saying, do something else fun for a couple months and then come back to it and be refreshed. And at that point, you know, the meta's moved on, things have happened, things have shaken up, and now you can, you know, enjoy the game again. There's a lot of value in that, being fresh. Don't be scared to step away from the game. Your skills are not going to erode. This isn't basketball at the highest levels or whatever sport you enjoy. This is a card game, and you will quickly be able to get back up to speed.
Yeah, on the point of staleness, I feel like there isn't very many competitive tournaments like throughout the year, obviously, as mentioned, there's basically two. And what I found, those are always the ones that really like drive the metagame forward, even in a point of staleness. The card pool could not have changed for a really long time, but out of nowhere, DC will bring a great deck that'll, you know, everyone will copy for the next 5 months, even though like the cards are all old. If there was larger, more tournaments, I feel like that would be less of an issue. I mean, the card pool doesn't help. The fact that it changes at such a slow pace, that's just a thing that'll always be true. The game will basically always be stale in that sense, if you look at it that way. But nothing to be done about it, really.
Do you want to talk about the upcoming tournaments, or do we want to leave that off because this is an Alex thing?
Oh, no, you can upcoming tournament. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, upcoming tournaments. I'm going to pronounce everything wrong because I'm not as cultured as Alex. On the 26th of June in Torino, there's a tournament at the Jolly Joker Game Cafe. On the 3rd of July in Geneva, there's a tournament. There's the June tournament at Highgarden. It features a joust, a melee, and a 1E side event if there's enough.
The Highgarden tournament's done. You know, we're in July.
Oh, oh really?
The June tournament's over, yeah.
See, I'm not very good at this. Yeah. Actually, because as of recording, it's not done yet. It would be tomorrow. But by the time this airs, it will be over. And I congratulate he or her who have won.
The winner's already been posted, so it's already over.
By the time this airs, not by the time it's recorded.
No, I could find the winner if you want. They're deck, do you want me to link it to you right now?
No, I'm good. Actually, and I also said June 26th, which is already way done. You should probably
get
this. I thought Alex updated the event news. He said he
did. You're just reading from Alex's spreadsheet.
Of course
you didn't
I
do the research yourself.
Why would I do the research myself? I got this segment together, the special segment.
That's true. You are responsible for the segment.
Send your complaints and emails and on the wall about Sean's segment. All right. I think that's good for the news.
That's it for the news. Well, the closing comments is normally when we do the tournaments, but since you already did that part, I have no closing comments. How about you, Sean?
I have no closing comments, although I feel like you should make a mountain joke to sign us off.
That's a fantastic idea, actually. I do love the mountain, and since Sean brought it up, even though Alex said I wasn't allowed, he's not here. Do you know what I was doing right now? I was actually Googling mountain jokes. I'm going to try that and see what happens, all right? So we're going to see if that can actually find something.
You're going to get like Mount Rushmore jokes.
Maybe. We'll see. Actually, I found there was something that came up. Let me see here. It says mountain facts. So I'm just going to... I don't even understand this. But I'll read it anyways. This is about Zombie Mountain. Okay. When Zombie Mountain enters a room, he doesn't turn the lights on. He turns the darkness off.
It's just another Chuck Norris joke.
This one says mountain. I mean, this is Google. Are you disputing Google? When the mountain gives you the finger, he's telling you how many seconds you have left to live.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Wall. If you have any comments or would like to be featured on the cast, please let us know by email at beyondthewallpodcast@gmail.com or through Facebook at Beyond the Wall Podcast. If you've enjoyed the music, check out more of Antti Martikainen's work at the link embedded in the chapter data. See you all next week.